call our meeting back to order.
I guess we're going to pick up where we left off on the airport. You guys don't mind if I lower the thermostat from 76, do you?
No, you better take it to how often it
goes. Did you like the letter? The change in the letter?
Yes, I was going to bring that too. I'll just hold it to that. So,
well, I'll make a motion right off the bat. I read the letter, just got through reading it, made y'all copies to not do what this letter says. This is a proposal for Taney County, if I read right, tell me otherwise, to pay $2 million for part of the airport's road.
No. I mean, technically you're correct. But what it is a grant from the state to give $2 million to pay for it, which if the state gives us $2 million to pay for a road that goes to the airport to use for operations, the airport is getting $2 million from the state for their operations, and we're kind of the straw person in between paying for a road with the $2 million.
Where does that say that here, Bob, for us to understand? I mean, how am I so misled? You say technically I'm correct, but where does it say that here?
Okay. Can I read this letter?
You can read it.
Or summarize, I mean, whatever you want to do.
Okay, the purpose of this letter is to outline our proposal to you. This is the airport to the representative. And to express our willingness to sell about a half-mile section of road to Taney County, which will be important for them to own in the future. Branson Airport is willing to commit that the proceeds from that sale would be used solely and directly to support further air service development at the airport. We believe that Taney County is highly supportive of the proposal described in this letter and has indicated to us that they intend to correspond directly with your office. We appreciate your support in this proposal and stand ready to work with your office in whatever way you or your staff deem appropriate. Basically, the only reason to write to Bob Dixon...
Well, I had that question next.
Okay. Is that he is going... He's going to put it into the appropriations to try to get the money for the purchase of the road. Taney County is not going to purchase the road. The letter that I've drafted says that we're supportive of the proposal, and the proposal, as we understand it, is we get $2 million to buy a half mile of road that the airport says that they will put toward operations of...
attracting tourism, I think is what
to attracting word. Attracting tourism. So if the state wants to give us $2 million for attracting tourism...
We'd be more than happy to pass through that whatever $2 million...
And that's the only reason to send this to Bob Dixon. Otherwise, there's no proposal.
Well,
the airport proposes that 100% of the approximate $2 million sale proceeds be dedicated to further commercial. We're not going to give them $2 million, nor have we ever agreed to give them $2 million in return for the road. Not unless we get it from somewhere else. If somebody gives us $2 million to buy the road from them, we'll buy it from them.
Okay. Did you answer my question?
I think I did, but...
As Jim said, a pass-through? Where does it say that? I mean,
it
makes sense.
Letter? Can I see their letter?
Have you read this, Dan?
Yeah, I've read it. I have the same questions that you do. What I wonder is, in our motion, I think we have to be very careful if we decide to do something on this to make our motion contingent upon the approval of the grant.
Or the funding, whatever it is, the funding of that.
Well, as it said, he said grant. Now, is that what it says here?
What I'm understanding... Bob, when I talked to Representative Dixon with Jeff Burke, when Jeff Burke put me on the phone with him, is that this is a special program. I don't know if it's a grant. I don't know if it's an appropriation request. I don't know in what form it comes from the state.
Is it? Well, what form it comes from the state, what form does it come from MoDOT or the feds?
It's all state related. It's not the feds.
Okay, so it's MoDOT.
It's MoDOT. And it, how I understood from Mr. Dixon was it also may be some money from the
my
Economic Development Division.
I mean, it'd be clear, if you want me to make it crystal in this letter, proposed purchase by King County of final portion of access road to the Branson Regional Airport. Purpose of this letter is to communicate to you that the Taney County Commission is open to the proposal. It doesn't say we've committed to it, but we're open to the proposal outlined in Jeffrey Bork's December 11, 2009 letter. The Taney County Commission supports, and it does say supports there, the efforts of the Branson Regional Airport.
We do.
Okay, and we do. And would cooperate with reasonable efforts to effectuate additional operation funds for the airport. And I think you guys would do that. The commission would like to express to you that in theory, and I put in theory, the commission supports the proposal set forth in Mr. Bork's letter.
Now, is this letter, I'm the letter you just read, Bob, didn't you call Bob Dixon's office or Representative Dixon's office?
Yes, I did.
And said, tell me what you want in the letter so that you can do the appropriation request.
And they said, we really don't, you really need to talk to, and they gave me the name of a consulting firm that was working with Dixon's office.
Okay.
Or no, they were working with the airport and had been in touch with Dixon's office.
Okay.
And I sent a copy of this letter to that consulting firm. They gave me their email contact.
Okay.
And I didn't hear back from them, so I assume that the letter's fine with them. But, I mean,
If you wanted to be more specific in that letter,
in paragraph two, I could say that the commission would like to express to you that in theory the commission supports
the pass-through agreement, the pass-through theoretical concern. Can we
supports the proposal to pass through the $2 million.
I wouldn't put $2 million, just the amount.
Okay. Supports the proposal to
can you reword it, I guess?
Yeah. Receive state funding for the purchase of a road so that those funds can be used for attracting tourism to the county or something like that. Would that be clearer, do you think?
I think it would be clearer if you wanted to do that, something like that.
I think that.
I mean, my opinion is, if the state's willing to give us money to buy a road, and the road will, that money proceeds will help the airport, once again, and we're not out any dollars because the airport is willing to maintain the road to the standards of whatever classification we do it. In all that theoretical discussion, I'm open to being a pass-through entity. I just want to help the airport in that aspect. Now, obviously, I don't want to expose the county to any additional expense other than what we get. So that's where I've come from.
So let me try to get all this straight in my mind. Jeff Bork has approached. He's looking for funding.
He's looking for funding to attract airlines.
Okay.
Okay.
And so as he's looking for funding, he has contacted Bob Dixon, and Bob Dixon has, because of economic development,
and
he has come up with this,
this program does exist, and they have done it in other parts of the state, from my understanding. It's a very rare situation where it's a combination of economic development. And when Jeff called me and said, hey, I got Representative Dixon on the phone, I was like, okay. I mean, this was news to me. And so what he said was the state sometimes buys roads that the county should own to help stimulate economic development. So that this program is in place, but I don't know, but it's based off appropriations request.
The state sometimes
purchases roads for the county that will help stimulate economic growth. Is how I understood the conversation with Representative Dixon. And so what he does, the money comes through MoDOT, even though it's an economic development. So that's why I say Missouri Economic Development is somewhere involved in there. I don't know.
Jim, that's where I really find skepticism is that the money comes through MoDOT. I think it would have to be earmarked in such a way that they couldn't spend it somewhere else.
Does it matter?
I don't care how it gets there. That's what I don't care.
Yeah.
Let me ask you if this wording is, after the first paragraph, the commission would like to express to you that in theory, and it's in theory, the commission supports the proposal set forth in Mr. Bork's letter to the extent that state money would go to Taney County to purchase a segment of road and the money would be used to further air service development. Would eventually be used to further air service development.
Uh-huh. I like that. That's a very good letter.
And we're just saying what in theory would support. I mean, would we not be in support of them giving us $2 million to buy a small segment of road?
And just to let you know, the $2 million, that is the most that this program pays out for any road purchase. That's where the $2 million comes from.
Well, if it was $100,000 that came from the state to buy this piece of land.
So that's why I wanted to keep the $2 million out of it. The $2 million mark is what Representative Dixon said on the conference, on that conference call.
Well, you know that this airport discussion, I'm in total support of the airport. Mm-hmm. We've had less than reasonable response from dealings with the airport.
You're exactly right.
And the only thing that confuses me a little bit is I see this is from Representative Dixon. And I would not want I would like for Bob to, and he's got a letter here, but I would like to make sure that it did not obligate the county.
Well,
in any way
using the, in theory, I don't see
where
there's no money obligated.
We're simply writing a letter to the Honorable Bob Dixon, Representative Dixon. And we're saying, dear Representative Dixon, the purpose of this letter is to communicate to you that the Taney County Commission is open to the proposal outlined in Jeffrey Bork's December 11th letter. The Taney County Commission supports the efforts of the Branson Regional Airport and would cooperate with reasonable efforts to effectuate additional operation funds for the airport. The Commission would like to express to you that, in theory, the Commission supports the proposal set forth in Mr. Bork's letter to the extent the state money would go to Taney County to purchase a segment of road so that the proceeds of the proceeds would eventually be used to further air service development.
We're basically saying nothing in that letter. If there's no money,
we've committed ourselves to nothing. We haven't said we're going to buy it from them.
We didn't say
if
how
we don't
much.
Get any money. We didn't say how much it is. We haven't obligated ourselves to anything.
I understand. I just...
Okay. I don't care. It's your guys' decision.
I know. I just...
Can we table this and hear from Mr. Berry and come back to it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or that'd be just back. Let's bring him in and welcome. Jim, how about if you would come up to
this microphone or that microphone?
I'll just move my stuff and... I've had all my shots, and if I haven't, you can probably offer some to me.
Hopefully.
First, let me say I thank you for responding and permitting me to get on the agenda today. What I have is not critical or not really important, but I felt the need to report to the commissioner that we are going into a new fiscal year, as are you, and the statistical sheet that I just presented to you actually came from Stephanie, so it's the program that y'all have used in the past where it's just the statistics that she keeps. It doesn't include our other animal control activities that we do for the city. So The total number of animals, of course, include every animal from whatever source it came from. But as far as the complaints, those are complaints as she kept records in 2008 and again in 2009. That's just to compare the, so you'll notice the number of calls that they're getting similar, dropped a little bit, but for the most part are similar. According to her figures, the number of animals actually impounded at the kennel went down by roughly 300 in 2009 compared to 2008. The number of transfers, of course, went down sort of in proportion to that. probably the percent transferred is a somewhat smaller, even accounting for the total number, because some of the adoptions were up just a little bit, and that basically occurred in the latter part of 2009. And actually, I don't have a month-to-month there, but the I think probably October, November, and on into December, the number of adoptions did increase significantly over some of the preceding months. And I think that's important because it's showing some support. There's a couple of animal rescue groups from other parts of the outside Taney County that are now coming and looking or keeping up with or communicating with Stephanie, and sometimes take some of those animals into their programs for adoption. So again, that's just to show you that the operation statistics, the number of calls and all, are continuing to be about the same.
And that's a positive, Jim, with the economic times and the number of dogs that are being dumped and things like that. I think that if you stay on an even balance for what you've done in the year past, it has to be a positive. Really?
It hadn't increased, so that's a positive.
That's a positive, because...
Because in some of the other aspects of public health, we are seeing our numbers increase. Mm-hmm. People in need, coming to us looking for sources of food and housing, and that number is increasing. So, again, we are pleased to see that those numbers are staying like that.
I was going to throw out some observations here, is that... your redemptions, percent-wise, you are actually getting about a 1.5% increase in redemptions over, so you're improving that quality. Adoptions, you're up 5.5%. 27% of the animals are being adopted out, so that means you're up 5% from 08. And then your euthanization is down, it was 2.6%, now it's down to 1.1%, so you're doing...
What is a transfer as opposed to a euthanization?
Well, the euthanizations that we're indicating here are the animals that we actually have to euthanize locally.
At that time.
Because of being injured or ill, and that's done at the vet's office.
Right.
Locally. So
I can do the transfer. The transfers, but we don't know once they're transferred if they're adopted, because they get in there 10 days or 7 days to adopt there, and then possibly.
They do go through their
process.
But the transfers are way down, too, though.
Yeah. But for us to be positive, I think our transfers have to continue to be lower, and the only way we can do that is through redemption and or the adoption program. So, and we are getting quite a bit of local support. Branson Hometown Radio webpage now has a pet connection on it, and they not only list what we have for adoption, they also list what's lost and found, and that's been a real positive thing over the last few months that's developed. I didn't do a formal report on operations, but I'm not sure that I ever shared with you actually the number of people. We actually have 6 people assigned to animal control now. We have Stephanie, who was your manager, is listed as a kennel manager. She's totally in charge of the operation of the kennel. We have a full-time kennel tech, Sharissa Hamill, and just for your information, she was one of the community service workers that was working there. And when Rick chose to leave, Sherry, who was your kennel tech, applied for that animal control position, and we interviewed her along with 3 other applicants that we received, and we chose to promote Sherry to the animal control position. And that's when we hired Sharissa, who had just finished her period of time out there. And then in addition to that, we did choose to go ahead and hire a part-time kennel tech that works 24 hours a week because we did have a couple of days there that we only had one person at the kennel, and they were having to answer phones clean and do the whole thing. And Sherry was kind of filling that position for a while. So we have Jamie Tabucci is a female, and she is the one that works the 24-hour shift. She works, I think, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday every week. And so we do have two people there, and we do open the kennel on Saturday and Sunday for the adoption.
Do you open Sunday now, too?
I think so.
Okay.
Or at least if we hadn't, that's our goal.
Okay.
And that was one of the reasons to put that there, because in my observation, it's real difficult to have one person out there and then open the kennel for visitors come in at 10 o'clock in the morning, because they're not finished in the back necessarily. So I like to have a cleaner person up front to have visitors come in. So that's, and we are able, at this point in time, we're able to do that within the money that you're providing. We have the three animal control officers. Charles Avery was working for us for a while before we made this, and Charlie is the most well-trained. He has gone to both level one and two training at the national level. We lost Steve, who was with us, and we lost Rick, who was with you, and we hired a young man by the name of Eric Hansen and then Sherry, so we have the three. One of those people, and basically Sherry does it, is headquartered at the kennel. The other two report to an office that we have there on Bee Creek, but then they are interchangeable. If Sherry is off, one of the others report to the kennel to be there. And any of the three will work all complaints. They don't, we don't limit Sherry to just work complaints in the county. So, and we have one of those people on call seven days a week, you know, at nighttime on the care of Peter. So, that's the way that's handled right now. I guess primarily I would answer any questions about operations or share with you anything.
I'm giggling because we did the numbers here. It looks like you had 13 escapees.
Okay. So she got, I have 13 escapees.
13 escapees, and I'm not in 3-08. So escapees are high.
As you can see, I did not at that. I just took the report that came to me.
It does happen. No, I actually looked at the other number that you mentioned about, which was the dogs and cat transfers. We were transferring 67.5% of all the animals coming in, and now we're down to transferring 61%. So that's also down over 6%. So, I see really good improvements, plus you've got more coverage. So I've noticed how the community has jumped on that.
As I said, they call themselves, I get confused about the name of the two main societies. Dr. Parnell works more with the one in Reed Springs.
Okay.
And right. I guess they call themselves the Tri-Lakes. I guess the Taney County is the one that's headquartered more there in Branson. And we're working with both of those groups. One of the things, and I just mentioned to Rick briefly coming in, I dropped off a copy of our budget to Rick. Nowhere in our, well, he and I were covering insurance, and we'll verify that. It's our understanding in our agreement that you would continue to carry the fire and extended coverage on your property, on the building, and I think that's in place. Mm-hmm. And we would pick up insurance on the content and on the premises liability. Mm-hmm. But we are going to double check that.
That's right.
If I remember correctly from the agreement, that's exactly what was said.
But, so we got it under buildings and grounds in our budget. Is that what we got it under? Okay, well, what I'm saying is when we did the budget, and we didn't, of course, we didn't have any animal control budget, so when, well, I know, but I mean, it wasn't any different than what it was the year before, and then we had, with our buildings and grounds, which that was part of it, because I asked questions about our little park facilities and things, different buildings that we had added and things like that. This building still remains under those buildings and grounds for Taney County.
Yes, we still own it. Yeah, they're still covered
and
by
the insurance, the fire and insurance and all that.
It's going to be my opinion, based on my past experiences, there's not going to be a significant difference whether you drop the liability coverage on just that property.
Yeah, but we still own the building. I think it's just a long-term lease, isn't it, right, Bob? Yeah. We own the facility.
We own the building.
Yeah, so we need to cover it no matter what.
It's a lease, and it doesn't make any difference. We have liability, which is a good thing, and they have liability, too,
right.
Because, I mean, they need it for their operation.
I just mentioned that. But the other thing that, and what I'm here today, really just to kind of inform you and just be sure that we're on the same page, that we are making capital improvements that would be considered capital improvements, and we're not asking you for additional money to do that. And it is changing, and whatever I do, I've come to you to make you aware of that. And we are now looking at something. It's going to be a little bit more costly than the other things that I've done out there. In other words, we added the alarm system with security, and you were aware of that. We talked about the air flow pipe situation.
Right.
And that's not completed yet, but that'll be permanent. That won't be any way that anybody would want to take that out. That becomes a permanent part of the building. And we did go ahead and exchange the outside security lights. You had one on the front of the building and one just kind of sitting up on the pole. It was like just the residential type.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the power company come out and change that front one and put one in the back, and they're larger outdoor security light. But that's billed through the utilities, so that's not a...
Right.
That any time you quit paying that, they'll take them off.
So, sure.
So I didn't really run it. And we are doing the normal repairs and maintenance. We did have to have some repair work done on the water well. And then actually, the well house itself was falling apart, so we built a new well house and insulated it because it did freeze on us. One time that's right there. And I did let you know before we did to it that we did enclose that breezeway between the two buildings on the entry that's inside the fence. I call that the east side. I'm not sure, but if you drive into the place, when you go on inside to go around to the back, that we put a roll up garage door on the breezeway at that end, and we wall the opposite end, which would be toward the shooting range. We put
right.
a wall there with a window. And I had made you aware of that. Now, today I wanted to make you aware that we haven't started it yet because I still got to get approval from our board. I am now receiving bids for a commercial washer and dryer. They've been using a little old residential washing machine that's in the restroom, and it goes constantly for 6 or 7 hours a day and the same thing, which ties up a person. And so we are looking at equipment similar to what you put in the jail, one commercial washer extractor, about a 40-pound capacity, and then a 75-pound capacity propane commercial-type dryer. And in order to house that, my intent would be to take that west side of that breezeway where we have the wall and window, come back over significantly far enough to make a room there and make that the laundry room.
Okay. And that the old breezeway.
In the
area.
Old breezeway.
Okay.
And so that would be a permanent wall and door and that sort of thing. And of course, once you install, if our board approves it, once you install a commercial washer and dryer, it's going to become part of the property. I mean, that's not something that you're going to necessarily shift around from time to time. But I did want you to make, because that will be probably a total of about a $10,000 investment to put those two pieces in and do that room.
Okay.
And so that we probably are going to do that, and we'll simply use some portion of our reserve fund because eventually I will save most of that in operating cost.
Yeah.
Just in labor for what we're doing there. But didn't want to make you aware of that. And if you have any questions, I don't see it necessarily taking any kind of amendment to our agreement. I'm just under, when you make a change in property, it becomes a part of the property, and we all know that. And it's also taxpayers' money, so
right.
I don't have as long as you guys are aware of it. And then, of course, any future commission that might want to make a change, they would simply get their building back with whatever improvements
that's
there. And it certainly wouldn't be, it would not be my intention to take away anything that that we permanently install, such as a plumbing for a washer and dryer, that sort of thing.
Right. So, sounds great. That sounds wonderful.
Just a couple other issues, just to keep, just make you aware. We will be upgrading the phone system, and that's not a significant cost either, because it just so happens that I don't know when that phone system was put in, but it just doesn't work.
Okay.
I mean, the phones themselves. So we do need a good system that's got at least two answering stations and probably a one each and out where the dogs are. And right now the system it's just not functioning properly. But I will take care of that. And of course the computer program or the computer equipment is old equipment, and we'll probably replace it. But I think we have enough from our upgrades to take care of that ourselves. But again, that's going to be depreciating equipment anyway. So
right.
It's but you know, I just wanted to make you aware of that. And I said I did furnish Rick a copy of the budget that our board approved in December, and it's not broken out to where you can specifically see animal control. We do that more in detail, and at any time you wanted to see that, I can pull a monthly P&L that would show that month plus year to date, and it will be just animal control.
Okay.
We're having to do a little bit more work on our accounting system because it's pretty difficult to break out what portion of it's county and what portion of it the city, you know, that we're using funds from the city of Branson for. But I'll have to do that anyway for a presentation to them. But just you will note that the $169,000 is in the total budget, and it would, and also there's a copy of our staffing plan that's been approved by the board, and it will show the animal control people and the number of people that's budgeted in there, and we also include our pay schedule, and when the board approves the budget, they approve the pay schedule and the staffing pattern and the operational budget at the same time. And you would also note that we have placed the animal control people in our appropriate wage and salary.
Okay.
So everybody that's employed at the Thames County Health Department salary fits into one of those squares.
Okay.
So if you see the
do you have
section,
a copy, Rick, of all that?
Section in there that says animal control. It's in the same classification as our accounting clerks and our dental clerks and our human resource clerks, and it's a starting wage of 1061, and it goes up 2.5% by steps across. And so all our animal control officers, including the one we transferred, will fit in to one of those squares depending on where they were and what they hired in. And that sort of thing.
I'll have to see that. And, that pay scale is talking about. I'll get a copy of that from you.
And it is, you know, it's, well, Rick has one. But
yeah, I'll get one. Get one from Rick. I'll get a copy from Rick.
But that's about where we are. We feel fine about the way things are going. Okay, I'll
could you do that?
Yeah, I'll do it.
That would be wonderful.
In fact, I can provide y'all each a copy of the budget if you'd like.
If you're going to email, I'd sure like to
yeah,
see
I'd like something. To have an email. If you can email it, that'd be great.
And I have all of his email address. Are there any questions you guys have for me?
No, but I do have something to visit with you about, and we are in the middle of a wellness, and I'm sure you're aware of it. Probably have heard about our facility that we're fixing up, and I've had calls from the health department.
I knew one of my employees had called.
Yes, and the state employees down here, which are at the judicial facility, we have made that available to the health department and the state officials that are in the judicial facility. And so when we get everything organized, which they're mighty close to doing that, well, then we'll be sending out more information to you to probably distribute to those members.
We appreciate that.
And see great benefit on our insurance probably from this action and had donations from people to implement this as actual citizens and businesses. So,
well, I'll throw this out without any discussion necessarily, but if a time comes where a participation by employees is something that you guys approve in there, if some way that you want to offer it to other groups with a contribution, operating type contribution per employee, we would be glad to consider that, because we have done that in the past, where we would just simply pay a wellness program so much per employee annually or whatever.
Right.
So if that ever gets to the point of operating, because I know you guys are struggling with budgets and
there's still some discussion on that very issue as far as maintenance of that equipment and everything. We run into a great deal as far as the purchase.
Just be aware that we would be open to that type of discussion.
Okay.
And Nikki has asked for me to meet with her after this meeting.
Right.
I guess she's on the committee to look at programs or whatever.
Yeah, we created an advisory committee of 5 employees, and they're kind of taking it and running. So, and then they will come back and report something else to us. So.
And I will meet with her.
What are your working hours, Jim, at the health department?
We basically say 8 to 4:30, but we open the office in Forsyth at 7:30.
Yeah. I think our, and if I'm not wrong, they have set this up from 6 to
8.
6 to 8, and so that gives opportunity for people to take advantage
Monday
of
Monday we stay open until 6:30, but that's just to extend.
Sure.
So I just wanted to make you aware of that, and hopefully we
now, there may be some consideration, because I know this has come up in my discussion with my employees, that you may want to consider, and I'll talk to Nikki about that too, if you'd like, but employees that would work at six, that would come to the wellness center before they came to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. We open at 6 and we have shower facilities.
Oh, you're saying you're at, I'll
oh, yeah, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Oh,
Yeah.
I was thinking you were going to open it after.
No. 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Before and after
that
work.
Going to come up for about the early morning.
We have a men and a women's shower area, one shower, and there'll be lockers.
And lockers. So.
You require them to shower before they come to work?
Not normally.
We haven't put it in the handbook yet, but we're considering it. Well, I've heard good things. I can just tell you, I now and then talk to my neighbor, which is Mrs. Earls, and she's real passionate about this. And
we had one follow-up meeting since the meeting that you attended with me, and that's where it came. In fact, they've taken the need for the laundry equipment on as a need too. So I know that somewhere they're asking, they're trying to come up with a program where that we can keep them aware of needs that we program has, and they'll put it through there.
Hey, Jim, and as you well know, we've got citizens out there that have participated in the past and some that have promised to participate in the future, such as was Mickey Gilley's case whenever he did the donation, and I think Yakov has had some thoughts of doing some shows and things like that, and so those improvements that you might want to make, something like that was announced that whatever they decide to do for you just adds to the wallet opening, per se. It's just one thing that I think that has been a real good thing is I have seen more with just the, I don't know whether it's your structure or how you've got it, but more activity as far as the people working animal control in all areas of the county. Kazee Mills, Forsyth, here and there, I see your trucks and your things there and that are responding. And it's what I've always said to Jimmy in the sheriff's department. It doesn't have to. If people see that, they get more of a comfort level about what's being done, where their tax dollars are being spent, and I've really noticed that since you guys have taken that over.
Well, of course, a lot of the work on animal control is educating and getting people to be
responsible owner, y'all can do that. That'll never, I mean, you'll never get that completely done, but that's part of our mission, too, is to take that message.
Radio stations all the time coming on. I didn't know whether you had a part in that or not, but they're all the time on there with lost animals of a morning, in the afternoons. Well,
that's Scotty Earle, and yeah, she probably got 6 or 8 members of that staff over there.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. She has the ability to motivate the employees to help. So I think all of them want to be involved. Yeah. So, but yeah, the animal report and lost and found animals.
I'm
and
trying all to that. Think of the manager for
Steve Willoughby, Eric Marshall. Is Eric?
Eric.
Eric is the gentleman that...
He's actually took the lead on that pet connection.
Yeah.
And goes out and takes pictures of the animals and gets them.
He was in that first meeting, I believe, too, that transition meeting. So. Yeah.
I'm very satisfied with that.
Please, real please, yeah.
Jim, one question. There were some questions, concerns on the municipalities that use our service and you bill them back. That evidently, I haven't heard anything, so that must be working okay, too.
Well, we have the one that I need to go meet with.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. They still call for services.
Don't have any reimbursement?
Yeah, they don't. It's basically the one that's always been that way.
Yeah.
Since the very beginning. But everybody else is participating.
Good.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll get a call, and it just we talk with our animal control officers. You'll get a call from a village like Taneyville, and they'll want you to come in and do something, and we usually go. If it's a dog bite, there's no question.
Right.
If the police ever call us, there's no question that we respond to that. But, we had a call from Taneyville the other day about it, and it so happened that the guy that was doing the calling was a member of their board or whatever, and had to be reminded that, we can't come in without an agreement just to do that routine type thing.
Those are intergovernmental agreements. Is that the way you set that up?
Yeah, because I think the way we all operate is we do an ordinance that applies, but it doesn't apply if there's an incorporated area. Mm-hmm. Unless they ask us to come in and do it, and then they have to authorize us to come in.
One thing I was going to ask you is when Hollister had their part, and they furnished a tranquilizer gun to the county, and we never did make use of that. Do you guys use that in the help of capture of like wild animals or vicious animals where they're out on the? Do you use that?
I know Charles is qualified to use that part of that training. Yeah, we do have one.
Right. And City of Hollister actually donated that to us, but we didn't have anybody that had went through the courses to actually let,
Yeah, you actually have to have a certified.
We want it mounted here for commission meetings so we can fire it.
Yeah, you have to have a certified user, but you also have to have a veterinarian that works with you. Mm-hmm. The vets have to have his name on the...
On the capsule.
On the,
yeah.
And we have that arrangement with Dr. Branson Animal Control. Mm. Branson.
Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Dr. Reynolds.
Odell.
Dr. Odell. Dr. Odell. Actually, Dr. Odell basically opens up his, to Charles particularly, because Charles also qualified to euthanize. And Charles gets an injured dog or cat or whatever, he just takes it to Dr. Odell's back door and walks into the Dr. Odell's room. They have that kind of relationship.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's because that we run into that problem. That's great that you don't have to go through all the strings attached to that. So.
Right. I don't have any more questions.
No.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Thanks for coming.
I saw Nikki go by the meeting here down there.
I thought she was up in her office.
Is that the way she did it?
I'll find her.
I need to see the facility.
I'll find her.
What do we, thank you, Jim. Do we want Bob to rewrite the letter? What do you want to have more debate about it? Do you want to just...
You had asked me one time to do it, and I did it.
No, at the direction, I mean, I'm comfortable with the letter. With the revisions. I like the revisions a whole lot better than the first draft.
Well, we met on this, and the only reason I did it is you guys asked me to do it, so...
Right.
Well, you asked me to do what?
research
it. You asked me to write this letter.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
I forgot.
If, as long as Bob, as you make sure that the county's protected, and I don't have, I want to be supportive, so I just want to.
We're not obligating ourselves to anything other than being open and in theory supportive.
Is there a description? Is there, when it gets down to that part of it, I guess there'd be a description.
Oh, there'll be lots of contracts once it gets closer. This is just...
Any contract for real estate has to be in writing. It has to have all the elements.
I think this letter is supposed to be doing is stating that the two parties that are involved in it are open to the appropriation request, because obviously I think Representative Dixon wouldn't even go put an appropriation request
in. Wouldn't put himself on the line.
No, if we weren't even open to it.
Well, why, Mr. Dixon... Oh, he's a great champion for Southwest Missouri.
He's the chair.
He's the chair.
On the MoDOT.
There's money available, and he's the guy to go see.
Evidently, some principals of the airport got a hold of MoDOT, and MoDOT said get a hold of this Mr. Dixon, because he's, I believe, the chair appropriations on MoDOT or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe on MoDOT.
Yeah, not appropriations in general, but related to MoDOT, and that's where the fund is funneled through. That's why I'm saying... I don't know how the money gets to it, but it comes through MoDOT at one time, and that's why he's involved.
So, have Maynard and our reps, those that represent us, are they in the know? They know about this?
I haven't told them. I mean, I'm thinking this is appropriate. I don't know enough about the program. All I'm saying is, no, I haven't told anybody.
Might be courteous to let them know that this is what we're after, because being our representative, I think somewhere down the line, if it goes anywhere.
Right. We can always send a carbon copy to those guys' offices, just let them know what we're doing.
I'll just put CC and...
Jack Goodman and maybe, I guess
Ray,
Maynard.
Ray and Maynard.
Ray and Maynard.
Because the other one's vacant.
Right, open seat. Then can I move that we approve the letter with
all corrections.
With all the corrections.
I second.
Okay.
One more question or comment. In some experiences, in fact, I guess we've seen it even in our solid waste, biosolid project,
mm-hmm.
that you can pick up negative stuff some ways that you don't think about. I've heard conversations. In other words, where I'm headed is, if $2 million was appropriated for this project,
mm-hmm.
would down the road we're looking for help on 160, or we're looking for help from MoDOT on the airport, or who knows what other project that we're going to MoDOT and asking funds for?
You used up your $2 million that you're going to get from us.
Exactly.
There's always a risk for anything like that. I mean,
I can remember, I think it's Rick Z was talking about you just need to be wise about how you go after things, because sometimes kind of back to bite you, that just like Bob said, you've already got yours, you're spinning your wheels this time.
You wouldn't be speaking about the high road, would you, sir?
I actually didn't have any project in mind. I was mostly remembering how if you don't go, if you try to end around somebody that you shouldn't end around, it can come back to bite you.
I've heard that myself.
Speaking of high road, I guess, did you see in the paper where they're going to talk about that in a few days, extending it? It's in Branson Daily, I think they're talking about, Mr. Miller's talking about looking at that again to go the next, 2-point-something miles?
To Highway 376.
Yeah.
There's been some discussions I've heard regarding limited ways, maybe the city owning the road and then turning it over once it becomes a 4-lane, but maybe 2-laning part of it. But they also said that...
Right, they mentioned 2-lane.
So the city's got the money to build this?
They're
going to do this?
What's that?
The city's going to build
it? Do you think they do? And then
the
other concept was to redesign it, because when they designed it initially, it was a very costly design and they weren't looking to be frugal. And so the conversation maybe is getting a new redesign more in the valley versus off the top of the hills, going down to the valley. And I know that conversation's taken place with MoDOT, but the designing hasn't, the engineering has not been completed all the way to 376. That's the conversation I heard.
So they don't have an estimated cost for the
2.6
miles?
$35 million.
$35
million. But off the current design.
That's
with the high, that's with the MoDOT doing it to interstate standards.
Mm-hmm.
$35 million based off of what they've started, but they believe if a redesign took place of location and just a two-lane, it would be substantially less than that.
I'm wanting to say I read that it was like $10 million or something, and it's probably to that redesign, and they did mention two-lane.
Yeah.
One more thing, and then I'll say vote, is I've looked at this again and again, and I mean, you understand, but this, I haven't said, I haven't found anything in here that says this is about appropriation from the MoDOT or anything.
That.
It just says.
That's the purpose of the letter, otherwise they wouldn't be writing it to Representative Dixon. I mean, there'd be no reason to write him.
I know that, but if it wasn't Mr. Dixon, anybody else, you would wonder, why is the county going to spend $2 million? In fact, as you saw, I guess, I see, I read we're spending $2 million without letting my brain work just a little bit. It's a pretty astounding letter.
People will misunderstand a lot of things, I think.
No question. Ready to vote?
Yep.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. What else we got?
I got a couple of administrative, but Renee needs clarification. She sent an email to me after our discussion we had about closing the elevator. She would like us to delay that closing until after the inspector comes later on this month, and then go ahead and do as we've instructed. But she wanted permission to delay the orders we've given her so that we can get through the inspection process. And then I'm trying to think here. The elevator inspector is coming next week to inspect the elevator in the courthouse. And so anyway, she was like to not put a big bullseye on that elevator until after he gets through here, because he's also inspecting the other elevators.
Right.
So I just told her that I would bring it to you today and get your opinion.
Okay.
I'm fine with delaying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's closed now. It's just not permanently closed. Permanently, temporarily closed, as we said earlier. I guess the question is, are you guys comfortable with delaying her orders until after that inspection?
I'm fine.
Okay. I have something else for you guys. I was given a letter this morning by Frank Preston that he wants to send to his to all of his employees. Here's what he gave me. And then after reading it, I didn't like the wording, so I asked I asked Frank if he would give it to Bob. So that's the post-it note that he said, give it to Bob. And so Bob then rewrote it based off of that letter. So the rewrite's behind it. From what, you know, what Frank told me is this is the program that Jimmy has also in place for his deputies. And basically what you're saying is that we're going to reduce or eliminate all overtime without approval. And that we will not pay not pay you the overtime, I believe is how it's worded. It will go toward comp time. And then he's basically going to be managing comp time and overtime. And my question for him was, is it possible that you could have a staffing issue if everyone got so much comp time and you're requiring them to use so much before the next pay period, could you be without people? And he said, in the rare situations where there's a big weather event, possibly, but otherwise, he didn't believe that that would be an issue.
I want to make something. I know I think that there may be listening right now, but I want to make sure something perfectly clear to Frank and I think to the commission and to the citizens. mainly the news media getting it out there, that we're not going to cut services to for a snow event, safety event to the citizens of Tana County. I had one reporter ask me that.
Okay.
And so if it amounts to overtime to get the roads cleared and keep people safe, it's overtime.
Well, we certainly didn't discuss cutting those services, so I've made the assumption that
that would be a necessary circumstance.
That's correct, and that the assumption is those services would not be affected. Now, we weren't told otherwise, so my assumption would be that it maintains.
Okay, some of the employees, when in their conversation, phone calls to me and this and that, some of them, and the way I understood it, and I don't think they'd even got their checks yet, but they thought they were turning in 32 hours for 1 week that they had where it was suspected snow and somebody was sent home and then it didn't snow, so they had to use the comp time. So,
but see, that's a proper...
That's a judgment call, I guess, to them, but they received 32 hours pay for that week. Some had comp time, some didn't, you know. Some don't save up their comp time. Some use every...
Well, I mean, I think that's a proper use for Frank. He's projecting extra hours to send him home in preparation, and, you know, if it doesn't happen, I guess they've always got comp time, hopefully, or personal days. We have, what, 3 personal days that we get?
I don't know if it's 2 or 3.
Yeah, but anyway...
I just want the message to be that we will not, the citizens of Taney County do not have to worry about the safety issue of our road and bridge department snow removal during, or any other weather event.
I know we certainly haven't talked about it, so I would assume nothing changes.
Right. I have another issue pertaining to that. We did have a couple of... governmental agreements with 2 schools where we had chips stored, mm-hmm. and one of them was with Mark Twain, and we found that, and I showed that to Chuck this morning, and the other one was with Bradleyville School.
Mm-hmm.
This has came up, I think it came up last year during the ice storms, and they were looked at, and I asked Eugene, he said he had those at his office. Now, what they're doing there, I don't know, but I asked him to get a copy of those into the clerk's office or to the commission's office so that if we are storing chips there and we have an intergovernmental agreement, I need to know the year, the time, if it expires. There's several issues that are there.
All contracts.
I'll need to be here.
We need to put a contract administration system in place.
But I just want to make sure that, I mean, we're...
Linda has been assigned.
This is wintertime.
Right.
And we might have a snow event before next Tuesday.
Right.
And so I want to make sure that if we have those and those people call, that we have some answer to give them. That, Joe Combs at Bradleyville told me that he thought that he had that. He'd seen it. The one that I showed Chuck was from Mark Twain, and it was definitely an intergovernmental agreement. I know that both those locations at one time had chips stored in their parking area,
right,
because of location.
Well, you've told Gene to get him over here then?
Yes, I've...
That's about all you can do. I mean,
well, he said he had them, so I just...
Excellent. All right. What else?
I got a couple things.
I'm done. I'm on this.
I've done quite a number of phone calls on the Wellness Center storm shelter thing, and getting somewhere. One comment was, why, and I forgot what y'all said, was this because of insurance, or why are we concerned about the safety of it? Was there what initiated the concern about the safety of the building?
No,
an engineer, you had said a...
You had said that you wanted a tornado shelter in there.
I understand that.
But to be FEMA qualified, it has to have structural engineering drawings to say to meet the FEMA tornado shelter qualifications.
Okay.
And then there's a grant possibly that would reimburse us for all the remodel equipment down
okay.
there.
Okay. That's what I missed.
Yep.
Was if it's FEMA qualified, then we're open to a grant.
There's a grant to reimburse us for all the demo and the remodel down there.
One of the folks I talked to said, good luck. He didn't say it that way, but pretty darn strict. But my last call, or I got to return a call to the fellow at Precast, Pre-Stress Castings, and the stuff down there, maybe they can give us something. But anyway, I'm working on that.
I mean, either really the engineering drawings is what Spencer said he needed, or hire an engineer to come in and do the test.
Right. And that's, Donna, remind me, and you mentioned drawings. We need to see if we can find the drawings of that structure. I don't have a clue where they are.
I would just, you know.
They were in Tress's office, so maybe Linda can help us find
Linda
them.
Or...
For which building?
The
old jail
underneath
the 1981.
Oh, I think I've seen something on that one time.
Renee might have.
Renee
yeah.
and I haven't, too.
I heard you guys talking about a workflow issue, especially on contracts. And I know Melissa has approached me about a program, a workflow program. I've never used one before, but I think that would solve a lot of our problems on our road vacations, on our contracts, our orders, and even ordinances, making sure that they get to each person. And and I'm not exactly sure how it works. I mean, Jim, Jim Eust has used one in the past.
I used to sell them. Melissa's talked to me, and she's going to be, I think, scheduling next week, get in front of the commission to talk about the program. But basically what it does, since we have, it's a great application if it's used, and Melissa wants to come in and present a solution for the county.
We have contracts. I mean, I had an elected official come to me today for a contract that he couldn't find anywhere, and I gave him an unsigned copy off of my computer.
This application, what workflow, electronic workflow is, you have to have a bunch of scanners to bring in the paper document, and then at that point, it's if it's a contract, for example, and we vote on a contract, it would route to the commission. We would have an electronic signature applied to it, and or a electronic okay. It then is routed to the county clerk where it's an electronic okay, and then we go in and sign it. But it's a paperless way to make sure that every step is followed and that the final signed drafts end up where they're supposed to be. So, but Melissa will come in and present next week, I think, to that. But
I think it's an extremely valuable tool.
It integrates with what we have, and I believe Bob Dixon is willing to put up 25% of the money through his tech fund. Because it will help his, it would apply to every office in the courthouse, in the county. So,
yeah. And I think I already told Chuck that I'd be able to put some money towards that too, because we can use it for different things.
Good.
Tomorrow we're scheduled to be at
MoDOT
9:15. I got a call from Frank Miller at Harbor Time playing phone tag, but there's going to be some breakout sessions and we're very well represented numbers-wise, and if I understood him right, he was saying we'd only have one vote in those roundtable work sessions. And since he called, and I'm going to call him back and let him know, if y'all are going, I'm going to back out, and it's the same, if I understand right, it's the same day as the Branson Chamber Legislative Committee.
Right, the 8:30.
So I'm going to go ahead and go there, and well, Frank's going, and I assume, I think you both signed up.
We did. I was kind of waiting. I signed up early because not knowing who else was going to sign up.
I signed up. I also had that date at the first of the year signed up to take off for an event. And so I was going to wait and see where we were at. I thought that we needed to be positive on our direction that we all were united on. The list that was sent to us, I think, is a very good list. I didn't see the way they were listed, and I think the project at F Highway and 160 would be one that we would really be pushing. T-Highway was fourth on the list that I received, and that intersection at T-Highway was one, but I think that the intersection at F and 160 over there is one that I don't know where it ranked. It was 8th or 12th or something. Do you remember?
I don't remember. So Frank, we know Frank's going. I was also thinking about going to the legislative, but I may not. And not going, I know that I just haven't thought about it. Let's put it that way. I was just going to see how the day went and decide. Either way, if Frank's the only one going, we're fine with that. Is that correct?
The only thing that bothers me is we signed up and then I show up.
Right. Let me just think about it because...
I called the parties that were involved in my other trip and told them that I might have to cancel on them.
Okay, that's fine.
And I wouldn't know till after we had this discussion, and I thought I'd bring it up today.
But it starts at 9:15.
And it lasts until how long?
2?
Until 2 o'clock.
That's right. Okay. We're in lunch for us.
I just want you to know.
All right, let me just think about it a little longer and then decide, okay? I mean, I can make it work.
When's the Tiger Grant last date that they claimed?
I'd have to look. It's February something.
Is it February? January something.
February. I don't know. I want to say the first week of February, but they're probably going to ask for an extension since we haven't heard it, because they remember they're bragging that they're going to get information out sooner. We can always have them. Who did it? Spencer? He can come in and give us an update, couldn't he?
One other thing, and I think I mentioned it, the Horizon Hills issue. We're looking at, not this Friday, but next Friday.
The 22nd.
That didn't even work for me. So I told Lonnie I'd have to get back to him again.
Right.
So I need to know from you.
I mean, I was actually wrote it down. I was planning to go 22nd. But
can you do it one other day that week?
Let me look here.
And I didn't go yesterday about the storage.
I didn't either.
I was planning on going down there and...
It's Partners in Progress that day. Thursday.
Jim did...
Wednesday's
and bad. We can't discuss this unless we go into executive session.
I'm sorry. Okay.
But I did want... Did you inform Chuck about...
When you had called about your BlackBerry thing, I just had finished talking to him about the, how do I say that? The involvement with the sheriff department and,
what we're talking about.
I'm trying to think how I can word it.
Okay.
No. Yes, Danny, I did inform him. When Bob
security was, concerns.
Basically. Security yes. concerns at road at various departments.
Yeah.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Not yet, but I'll get it later.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just for scheduling purposes, Jillian sent me just a reminder that Mr. Max Lytle called and wanted to know if any decisions had been made about the ESP40 board.
Mm. We tabled it till next Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm ready to vote on that anytime we get ready. So if you guys,
I think you're going to call some people, and then Tuesday we have it scheduled on the agenda at 9 o'clock.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Appreciate it.
That is a 3. Now there was a question.
It's 3 positions.
Three positions. And I went back and looked. And
the only day that I show evening wise that I'm free, because it's a 5 o'clock or later, right?
But they want to do it 5 o'clock.
The only thing I've got showing right now is. Thursday, the day before, but I'm not sure yet because there may be a reschedule of a kid's game. So right now it's the 21st, is that maybe. I'm assuming it's only going to last an hour. Is that about right?
Board members
right.
in his house. So
yeah.
And they're going to do this first. They do some other things later, I think he said.
I'll have to let you know on that.
Okay.
I can let you know probably tomorrow. I'll have an updated list of the games that got canceled.
Speaking of telephones, I for the longest time I've heard you complain about losing call or calls dropping on you. I've had issues where when somebody answers the phone, there's a buzzing or
like a horn, and then it's
a horn.
That's from my understanding, it's the digital towers going to a non-digital. You know, we don't have, was it 3G or whatever everywhere, and it's part of the flaws of the Altel phones on a Verizon network. That's why they want us to upgrade. So, which I'll be posting next week for us to talk about again.
Okay.
The Verizon contract that we've talked about, we got to talk about it again.
Okay.
Remember, I made a presentation to you guys,
right,
and then we tabled it.
Yeah, and Jim, I think during that conversation, if you don't care to discuss several of the things that we run into, and I know I'm partly to blame for some of mine, but I've run into quite a few problems, and whenever you're as illiterate about some things as I am, whenever you run into those problems and you think you're doing the correct thing, you might, you know.
Well, and really, part of the problem was the problems, if I'm hearing the complaints from Nikki and just some of the complaints I have, I didn't have any problems when it was Altel to Altel. It wasn't until the switchover started taking place that I started having some problems. The drop calls are just not drop, and that buzzing sound, it's all kind of since that transition of towers. And so I'm just wondering if
I can remember one or two saying it's pretty loud.
It is. It's loud on me.
Yeah.
And,
it's what it is. And it's not all the time.
One of them said, what was that?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah. What else you got?
That's it.
Recess?
Recess.
We'll be calling in tomorrow if we do anything, right? Because legislative starts at 8:30. You won't even call in. Legislative starts at 8:30. We've got agenda review at 8:30, but I think the agenda is set, basically.
I'm going to add a couple of items for approval by you. It's minor stuff.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Just minor stuff so that stuff can get approved.
Are you good with that letter then?
So,
that letter you good with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Frank's leading. So.
Okay.
So whatever's in there today, I guess in there, not necessarily. Yeah.
It's there now. I mean, I'm not planning to add anything else.
So as long as you're all right with it, we won't even mess with voting.
We just leave it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got two or three things that
you're pretty safe.
It's all stuff that I'm working on that just needs approval or something.
All right.
Recess.